Book of Hebrews, please. And chapter 11. Just a few minutes that remain. I'd like to follow up what we've heard this morning. Verse number 1, chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to assume that my audience is fairly familiar with chapter 11. If you're not, let me know who your Sunday school teacher is. We should be familiar with chapter 11. And these wonderful characters that God has left for us to see their lives, to see how they moved in faith. Turn over for one more verse, please. That is the verse that is really upon my heart. In chapter 13 and verse number 7. Now have no fear, I'm not going to speak to elders today. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's pretty plain to me. They spoke. They taught by their voice, by their words. But they did something else. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, or if you'll allow me, the way they lived their life. Now, this has been on my mind long before the brethren here, and I'm not sure what was in their mind, asked me to come with a little word if there was a few minutes to fill in. This has been on my mind for a year, but I haven't spoken on it before. These words, whose faith follow? And the reason why is I had to look deep within and to realize that this is a two-edged sword. Because if I'm going to speak to somebody about following faith or somebody's faith, I have to ask myself that question, am I living that life that they can follow? Are they able to look at me and be able to imitate, that's that word, imitate my life, and thus be in the mind and will of God? Coming back to chapter 11 for a moment, I really wanted to take the time, and maybe I'll just do it now and trust the Spirit of God will use it, for he can certainly use what we read far more than what I'm going to say on it. And I know that most of you are familiar with this, but just read with me for a moment these verses from chapter 11 and verse number 32. This is not the norm for the USA and Canada. If you know anybody that's living here, let me know. Just listen to what the writer says. He's written already, told us about some of these wonderful characters that go right back to Abel, and brings us through these Old Testament worthies, as they're called. But there's others. Verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets. Now listen. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. This isn't Hollywood stuff. This is real. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Who are these people? What kind of super spiritual Christians, if I can use that terminology, were they? What did God build into them that I seem to be lacking, that they were going to be willing to subject themselves to these things that we've just read? Do you know anybody like this in 2006 in this country? I'm limiting my remarks. What kind of faith did they have? Was it some different faith that God was pleased to impart to them than the faith that I have and that you have today? No. These were ordinary people. Ordinary people. But here's the difference. They had faith in an extraordinary God and His promises for them. So that begs the question then, where is my faith today? And what is my faith doing? I'm pointing, sorry. Where is my faith? And what is my faith doing? I very much appreciated what our brethren have spoken on, and a lot that Brother Dave has already mentioned has been on my mind. You and I, and I have no lock on this, that I know this for a fact. You and I are not going to be facing a sword. You and I are not going to be facing a fire. You and I are not going to be in a lion's den. I'm pretty sure I don't think that's going to happen. But David has reminded us some things that we are facing today. And we are caving in. Because we do not have the faith that we're reading about. I'm not talking about salvation here. No. I'm not talking about our salvation. But I am speaking about believing God that He is. Isn't that what we read in verse number 6 of chapter 11? Let me read it again if we missed it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. What do you say, Jack? I'm in a gospel hall. I believe God is. Do you? Where's the evidence in our life today that's proving that I believe that God is and that I'm willing to take a stand as these individuals were at all costs? These individuals believed in God and His purposes in their life and in eternity. And if I'm going to be a testimony for God here, I'm going to have to, don't take this in the wrong light. I'm going to have to believe more than that I'm just saved from going down to hell. As wonderful as that is, I'm not minimizing that. I thank God for it every day. But friend, listen, God has a purpose for this world. You see, the world that we live in, they have completely lost sight of this book. It has no bearing on their life. It has no bearing on their eternity, for the most part. They do not believe what the writer was writing in chapter 1. Listen, let me read these words for you. Maybe this will help us. Listen, because this is what the writer does. Appreciate Brother Gustafson. You know, when he speaks along these lines in the book of Hebrews, he writes something, or he speaks about something that was written even prior to him, but he uses it. He says the writer here speaks about Christ. And when he begins to teach in the latter portions, it's just a magnet. He's bringing them back to Christ. Listen what the writer's writing about our Lord Jesus and about his God and his Father. Verse number 10. Do you believe this today? And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they also wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Is that just some Old Testament words that comes from the psalmist long ago? Or do we believe today as Assembly Christians, do we believe that God has a purpose for saving us, for drawing us together into a fellowship, that we might serve Him from that place and reach out into a world that is perishing, a world that John writes is condemned already under the wrath and judgment of God? And it's more than just what I say, but more what I do. I can't get clever with words. I don't have that ability. I didn't do real well in English either in school, but I remember two things. Two things my teacher drilled into me. I remembered what a noun was. Person, place, or thing. Always got that one right. And I remembered what a verb was. Always had to do with action. Now that didn't mean I passed the test, because usually I got everything else wrong, but at least she got that into me. Faith is not some abstract, just faith, my faith. Well, David talked about Muslims. They have some faith. They wouldn't be strapping bombs on themselves. But listen, faith is just not an abstract, some thing out there that I can't put my arms around. It has to have an object. Where is your faith today? My faith is in God, the God of this book. I believe His promises and the purposes He has for me and for this world. Faith has a corresponding verb, has action. What is my faith doing? Let me ask that question. I just have a few minutes. I want to be down on time. What is my faith doing today? What were these individuals' faiths doing? Just briefly, I don't even have time to read them, but Abel's faith, he was offering. That's a verb. He was doing something. Offering. Enoch was walking. Noah, he was building. Abraham, he was looking for a city whose foundation, the builder and maker, is God. You see, yeah, but Jack, they lived in different times. That was a different era. Do you know, friend, that the day in which Enoch, I think you know this. You know what Enoch named his son? He named him Methuselah. You know what that name means, right? It was in view of the judgment that was coming. Why was judgment coming? Genesis chapter 6, Noah's day. And God saw the wickedness of the earth. Friend, it was a vile world at that time. Immoral world. A world that was against God, just as this world is against God. And what were these individuals doing? Their faith was active. Abel offering. It was worship. Enoch walking. Noah building. You building today? Are we building? Am I building? Abraham looking? I just want to leave you with three things. Whose faith follow? Is there somebody here today and you're just looking for somebody that you can come alongside? I hope that I'm living a life that younger believers in the assembly of which I form a part. I hope as they see me moving in my place of business and moving in the assembly and moving in the social realm, I hope my conduct is something that God would be happy for them to imitate in me. Dave was addressing older believers here today in middle age. Most of us are parents here today. Are we walking in a way that we're happy that our children can imitate that? Or if we open the door to let our kids, look, I'm praying for you, son. Hope you make the right choice. Whose faith follow? We need individuals today who have convictions. Convictions. You know, I do think of a former generation, my grandparents' generation. I wish they were still here. Some of them, a few of them are here today, contemporaries of my grandfather. I wish we had men like that today who had convictions. What's a conviction? They were persuaded that this book is real, that God is real, and that He moves and lives in my life. And I am living for a future day. I'm not just living for today and getting what I can get, the toys and getting a little pleasure out of it and the things that are coming into our lives. But like Abraham, they were looking. They were convicted. They were convinced that God has a plan. And based on that conviction, they made commitments. They made commitments to the gospel. They made commitments to a Wednesday night prayer meeting. They made commitments to being at the gospel meeting. They made commitments to making sure they had something to give to the people of God on Lord's Day morning. They made commitments to their family to open the Word of God, to pray with them at the dinner table. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir today because I'm looking at some of my peers and I know your lives. I thank God. But there's another generation coming up. And you, while I thought we faced things, I'm amazed at the things I see and hear. Don't be afraid to have convictions. Even in your assembly and even amongst your friends. When they're going to the movies, don't be afraid to say no. That's not something that's conducive to Christian living. It's not, brother. Oh, I'm not saying that there aren't things out there that are entertaining and that you might be able to get something out of it. But I'm telling that there are messages in those things that stick in your mind. And don't tell me that you can come on a Lord's Day morning and on a Saturday night you had the DVD in the player and it, whatever it was, and those images aren't going through your mind. Don't tell me it's not there. It is. Those were men that had convictions. These were men that had convictions. And it built commitments in their hearts. And it caused something else. It changed their conduct. It was very visible. They lived for God, viewing of a coming world. God's world. Time is gone. I would love to have told you about a couple of young men that stood for God. You know who they are. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ever wonder where they got that ability to stand in that day when they stood there before 1,000 of the lords and ladies, the intelligentsia of their day? Where did those three boys get the ability to stand and say, "No, I'm not going to bow to your idol"? Because the decree had already been given. Look, you either bow or it's the fire. So I don't know, they had some kind of faith. Well, they did. But where did they get it? Well, you'll have to go in your own time back to 2 Kings in chapter 22. A little boy named Josiah. And what happened? As he grew older in the kingdom there, he found the book of the law. And it was brought to him. I'm going to paraphrase and cut to the chase. He read it. And it so convicted him of what he read that the fathers weren't following the teaching that he rent his clothes and he wept. And he brought the people in and he read it before the people. And all the people bowed to the word of God. Not to some man's teaching. They bowed to the law. All of them. And in that crowd were the parents of a couple of boys that were yet to be born. And those were those three boys. And they raised them in that environment, in the word of God. And they inculcated into their mind a teaching that had long been lost, that God is real, that God has a purpose and a plan for his people. And so later on, when those boys were yanked out of the comfort zone, out of their Christian environment, out of the family that nurtured them, kept them, and shoved the food of the idols in front of them, they were able to say, no. And stood them up later on when they had position and some power and said, surely they're going to fall now. Why, the whole group, all of the social status and the elite, they're all doing it. And they said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow. And I love these words. But if not, you either bow or you're in the fire. They had convictions. They made commitments to God. And there was a corresponding conduct. Because they were trying to draw attention to themselves. Look at me. Not at all. They've got a hold of what I hope that we can get a hold of and continue to hold on to. The promises of God that He is. That we might serve Him and bow to the truth of this book because it's not archaic. It's living today. Let it live in our hearts with convictions and commitment and conduct in our lives till Jesus comes.